There's a slight possibility I might have given that message here, or at least a text, years ago. But if you're as normal as people are, and you are, most likely you have forgotten the text and the message I've given, so it won't hurt. But we can do it again. I one time remember a certain young preacher asked an old Texan Baptist preacher, is it all right to give the same message twice? He said, son, he talked in Texas language. He said, son, what'll kill rattlesnakes in one place will do it in another. Now, I don't mean to kill anyone, but I mean, what's effective one time certainly can be effective another time. My message this evening, strange as it may seem, it's a subject I don't often talk about, but the Bible does, and we just talked about it here, and we have to face it. That is the mystery and meaning of death. Now, here's the doctor before us, and I am sure he's dabbled into this. More than that, he certainly worked into the laboratory and all that. He'll tell you he doesn't understand why death comes to people. I mean, the way our systems are made to renew themselves, to rebuild themselves, because we certainly wear out much of our system by every day's exercise and activity. And if it weren't because no machine that human beings make can keep up with a human being and with his bodily constant exercise. I never forget those great, huge, old engines, you remember, those coal-burning, oil-burning engines that used to carry some of those trains at 85, 90 miles an hour. Every 300 miles, they had to be overhauled. They couldn't continue. Yet the human being, made of flesh and blood and of very, very fine nerves, we rebuild ourselves. Yet why death comes, there isn't a scientist in the world that can tell you. We don't know. Yet it does. But the Bible has an answer. The mystery and the meaning of it. As you look into the Word of God right here in this portion, and of course other portions of God's Word, the first thing we see the entrance of death. When did it come? And how did it come, and why did it come? The entrance. In verse 12, we read this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So you see, dear ones, here it is. Sin is the carrier of death. Were there no sin in the world, there would be no death. Death would be an utter impossibility, an incongruity. In fact, it wouldn't even be known. It wouldn't be in the vocabulary of the people. And they don't know anything about it. I don't know how much the angels understand about death. They saw sin, and nobody in heaven ever died. The devil and his angels were kicked out, but they didn't die there. Their death will take place. I'm sure if we were to ask the angels what death is, they might shake their heads. They don't know it. Now we don't know it, though we see it quite a lot every day, practically funerals and so on. But we see that unconsciousness takes place, inertness. The body is gone. I mean, the body is separated from the soul. But what it is, what takes place, none of us can know. There it is. It's a fact we have to face. It's a tragic, sad fact, but we face it. Well, sin has brought that. Then notice the compeller of death is law, the law of God. In the 13th verse, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now, the law demands that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, from which there is no recourse, from which there's no exception and no exemption. There were just two men that we know of in the Word of God that escaped death, not because they had made an effort to do so. I'm sure Enoch didn't attempt to escape death, but he knew he couldn't. He had seen too much of it in his day. But then the Lord took him and he avoided it. Elijah never thought that he would escape death. In fact, he even said that he even asked the Lord to let him die. If you remember when old Jezebel gave him an ultimatum, and he started running, and he ran and ran and ran until he ran out of gas. And he just plunged himself under a little juniper tree, puffing away, and he says, Lord, I want to die. No, he didn't. If he had wanted to die, he should have stayed where Jezebel was. She would have obliged him very readily. She said she would. Well, now, But nevertheless, that very man that said he wanted to die, he didn't die. Because the biblical record gives us that he went on to glory by a fiery chariot. Fine. But outside of these two notable exceptions, even Moses died. We are told so in the scripture that God buried him. Now, how God buries people, I do not know. I've been to your funeral agency, a plat and whatever else, and I've seen how they do it. But I don't know how the Lord does it. But outside of those two men that we read in scripture, everyone had to face it. And you'll notice that the law compels death. The soul that's in it, it shall die. But it says the soul that's in it. Doesn't say anything about the body. And when the law refers to death, dear ones, when the word of God speaks of death, it rarely implies merely bodily death. In that case, when it has to do with sin, it never does imply only the body. Never. Always the soul. Always it speaks of eternal death. I never forget my brother-in-law, Brother Kendall, who most of you met. We were visiting an Orthodox rabbi in Dayton, Ohio, and he was a very fine gentleman. He knew who we were. We had told him who we were. He knew we were Hebrew Christians. He was a very Orthodox rabbi. He was a fine one of the finest gentlemen I have ever met. And we were talking about Ezekiel, there where it says, God said in the Hebrew, it says, as I live, saith Jehovah, I have no pleasure in the death of the dead. That's quite a strange expression. And I said, Rabbi, why is this expression in Ezekiel like that? And the rabbi said to me, Brother Glass, this does not speak of his physical death. This speaks of the second death, the eternal death. And that came from the mouth of an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. All right. Then notice its compass. And so death passed upon all men. And dear ones, all men have had to taste it alike. The prophets died. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob died. Moses died. And as you go all along, Job died. We know that. And so it passed upon all men. Here is God's law, greatest law of declassing people. It just declasses them all. Everyone has to face it. Then the empire of death. The empire. I spoke to you about the entrance, now the empire of death. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Oh, it reigns even now, but in that time, between Adam and Moses, there was not the revelation that men had as God gave through Moses and from Moses onward. The death reigned, that's what the Bible says, and it reigns. And there is no one that can challenge the cruel, heartless, despotic dominion of death. Nobody can challenge it. All we have today, praise God, great men, great doctors who can prolong life. Often I wish they wouldn't do it because they make the victim suffer more and the loved ones have to pay greater expenses. If they'd only let the Lord do his own business the way he wants to, might be a lot better off, but they do it. But anyhow, on the other hand, praise God that men, useful men, have had their lives prolonged, not because, and they didn't make them suffer. And I'm thinking of my own brother-in-law. He should have been under the sod 3 years ago. But because of these wonderful inventions, these machines, dialysis is the word for it. Of course, I don't know what the word dialysis means. Ask Dr. Walters after the service. Don't ask him now. But ask him after the service. He might tell you what it is, but it's kept my brother-in-law alive. Alive. And active. And reasonably well. Now we praise God for that. But still, death is no challenge to death. The time will come. And when, unless the Lord comes very soon, when God will say to my brother-in-law, Fred, that's it. That's all.